The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Balk Talk Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, NBC Sports Bay Area's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to another episode of Balk Talk presented by Wendy's. It's a lot to unpack. We have somewhat of a first week of games underneath our belt, which means we got to see Ohtani struggle. Mike Trout hit a bomb. First time he's ever hit a home run on a 3-0 count, ever. Ever. All of the times, guys. It's insane. Baseball's weird, fam, but I love it. Speaking of weird, I don't want to say weird, but a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we recorded Balk Talk, which was technically 2 days ago, yesterday. I don't know what day. But since then, when we originally said the Marlins had some positive corona tests in their organization, I believe it was 12 players and two staff members around that range, four additional players have tested positive for the coronavirus. So it made, and I, it was this question that was brought up on social media by big, like well enough names where I could actually bring this up on my baseball podcast. But if this were to happen to the Dodgers, if this were to happen to the Yankees, instead of postponements of games, what about the postponement of a season? The fact that it happened to the Marlins, small team, would that change things? We have Jabba Chamberlain joining us, who we'll discuss that a little bit. And it makes you think, because he, of course, is a member of the Yankees, if that were to happen to his team, would it be different? Perhaps, perhaps not. And, you know, Derek Jeter's running that team, and he made an announcement that I believe they're going to do daily testing there now, change some things up. We're still figuring out the testing. Jake Diekman of the A's was very open, outspoken about it, saying they need to figure it out because the A's haven't even gone on their road trips yet. And I don't know how that's going to work, but a lot of the guys have. Of course, the Rockies traveled with the A's. I believe the White Sox are in Cleveland right now. So I'm hoping they figure it out. But like I said, we brought that up with Jabba Chamberlain, but more importantly, we asked Jabba Chamberlain. I am so sick of that midges story where, like, I call them gnats, but he always corrects me. He's like, they're midges, Jess. I'm like, cool, whatever, they're bugs. I asked him how many times he's asked that, and it's a lot. And so we covered that, you know, important stuff. And he had this stamp on him, whether as being the guy who should have lived up to their potential. And potential is an interesting word, right? He feels like he was always the guy that should have been this type of character. He was a first rounder that gets picked up by the Yankees. You're going to have some potential. So that's interesting to hear what he has to say. And he, of course, that's been stamped on him forever. And then we talked about, obviously, he's a guy that came out of the bullpen. So that's curious to know how he feels about a runner on second, which he's kind of used to. When you're coming out of the bullpen, you're usually going to be set up with runners on base. So I almost said runners on the base, which would have like lost me a lot of street cred. So I'm glad I didn't say that. That would have been embarrassing. So here's my interview with Jabba. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. It was so sweet of him to chat with me for about 20 minutes. And I really think you're going to like it because we touched everything that is happening now and everything previously, what he's seen since playing and how he was one of two guys throwing in the triple digits, and now you can't be in the bigs if you can't throw in triple digits, which is why I'm not in the bigs. It's the only reason why. Take a listen. All right, Jabba Chamberlain is here. Thumbs up. Former MLB pitcher. Before anything, I think it's important for the wonderful people to know that despite a decade in the league, retiring, is it 4 years now? 3 years now? You're still a you're still a really big fan of the game. So, but people want to know, what have you been up to since your last game? Your actual like last game that you pitched in.
I mean, just, you know, chasing a teenager. I mean, that's keeps me more busy than playing ever did. And, you know, now it's going into high school, and with the crazy times that we have right now, it's been a little bit nuts, but, you know, just, you know, keeping up with my dad and, you know, him, and, you know, just kind of getting back to, I guess of what our normal life is. I mean, normal's not a word, but, yeah, just getting back to, the everyday stuff of, you know, just going about your day and going to doctor's appointments and making sure everybody gets to where they need to be and doing that. So it's been fun. I feel like I've been more busy now that I'm not playing than when I was playing.
That's what happens when you're a dad to a teenager, though. You're just all over the place and everything like that. But what have you noticed about the game since you're no longer playing? What has something that you've noticed from the outside that you may have not have seen while you're in the game itself?
I mean, I think just obviously with a lot of the changes now and then being, you know, a guy that's started and been in the bullpen, just with, you know, now it's guys come in the game and they have to face three batters. I think it's just, I've noticed more of the rules, I guess. I mean, obviously you notice them when you play them, but now it's, you take them in a different aspect when you're from the outside looking in to, you know, some of these guys made an unbelievable living being, you know, specialist guys coming in to face one hitter. And now it kind of changes the game a little bit. So, I mean, obviously the strategy side of it, and, you know, you see it from that perspective too now, because, you know, you're away from it and you're like, well, I would do this in this situation because I've been in this situation. So I think it's just being away from it and then actually like putting yourself in that situation. And when you're playing, it's like, you're just in the situation. You know, I mean, it's happened so fast and whatever, but I think now the biggest thing is like, you can put yourself in the situation of seeing, you know, how the game is going to transpire and everything that goes like that.
So do you think you're more mentally, you can kind of overthink it a little bit more now, right? Since you're not in the moment.
Oh yeah. Easy. I mean, it's so, yeah. And the thing is like, when you watch certain things now, it's like, why did you give these guys so much credit? Like it's not that easy to do this. But yeah, when you're on the mound, it's like, all right, you have to be this perfect. You have to do this. And then now when you're the armchair quarterback, it's a little bit easier to pitch in a game. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's the respect that the bullpen is getting. Do you agree that those guys are getting a lot more respect than maybe from when you first started?
I mean, I believe so. I mean, like when I came into the game, there was only two dudes that were throwing 100. It was me and Joel Zumaya. And now it's like, if you're not throwing 100, they're like, what are you doing? Like, you're not even part of this bullpen or whatever. So, I mean, I think, you know, if you look at what's transpired over the last, you know, probably 10 years, and I think they've put an emphasis on how much bullpens are important and how they can shorten the game. I mean, I was part of a team when we won the World Series with Kansas City. Just, I mean, you know, those three guys at the back end just shortening bullpens, and, you know, everybody that's gone into it now is they realize how important it is to have that back end of the bullpen, where now you're carrying, you know, 1, 2, 3 closers that can get you to the back end of the bullpen. So I think there is a very, very valuable aspect of what people are putting on the back end of the bullpen now, more so than probably about, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
I feel like you just flexed in one like description. You're like, oh yeah, I've thrown 100 before and I've won a World Series. So that's kind of cool. I will never be able to say those things.
I actually won 2. So.
Two World Series. Yeah. That's my bad. And I mean, obviously you're watching it from the outside, and I'm curious, you know, before the season even started, before, you know, we actually had the 60 game season, there was a lot of ownership versus players fights, talks, nothing was getting solved. It was a lot of back and forth. What were you thinking while all this was happening?
I mean, obviously as a fan of baseball, you want to get it and you want to be able to watch it and do those things. But at the same time, you've got to take people's lives that are competing and doing that stuff into hand. And it was just, there were so many dynamics of what's going on now that you don't really think about it in a normal, just say, hey, we're starting spring training, here we go. Like, you know, let's get ready, let's plan our trips, let's, you know, this is what we're going to do. But now, you know, obviously with everything going on, it's a little bit different. And as it was going on and the back and forth, and, you know, obviously guys want to play. I mean, we love to compete, but at the same time, it's like, we need to keep our family safe. We need to keep everybody safe around us. And I mean, it's just, it's a no win. I mean, it just, for anybody and for anything that's going on, it's just, you want to do what's best for everybody. And it's just, sometimes you just can't. And, you know, we're obviously in that situation now, seeing what's happening with the Marlins and in the game, and what do you do? And, you know, at the end of the day, and, you know, you look at, you know, guys that have been vocal, and obviously David Price is a good friend of mine, and his tweet the other day is just, it's one of those things. It's like, what is the importance? Is we obviously want, I love nothing more than to turn on the TV and see a baseball game.
Right.
But at the end of the day, is that worth what we're going through? I don't know that answer. And I don't think anybody does. And I think that's the scary part of what we're going through right now. And, you know, it's day by day and trying to figure out what is the best move and what is the safest move for everybody.
Yeah, it's a lot of unknown, which, as you said, like, if we at least had some, we still don't even know what the coronavirus is 100%, you know, and I feel like that alone is kind of scary. And you mentioned the Marlins, obviously a lot of them tested positive, and more positive tests came out today. And they're postponing games, everything like that. And I know the Yankees were impacted, but do you think if it were like a Dodgers or a Yankees scenario where a bunch of those guys tested positive, they would completely shut down the season? Or is it because there's a Marlins situation? Do you think that's different at all?
I would hope not. Yeah. Honestly, like, I mean, obviously a name carries weight, but I mean, if we're talking about it as a whole and in the whole retrospect of things, you forget who is one of the owners of the Marlins.
Right.
And so, I mean, obviously I think he plays a big impact of what goes on, but obviously at the same time, he's trying to protect his team and obviously the game of baseball as well. And do I think if it was the Dodgers or the Red Sox or the Yankees, do I think it would be talked about more? Yeah, 100%. It definitely would be. Do I think it would change the outcome of postponing or canceling stuff? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just going to be in the public eye more so than the Marlins are. So
yeah,
I would hope it wouldn't change anything, but I think there's going to have to be talks, obviously. Now there was four more today, I think is what it was. And so now it's like, all right, well, where do we go from here? Like, I mean, you know, you're seeing college teams shut down the entire football programs, and it's, I mean, what's the next step, and what is the best way to keep everybody safe and try to continue your everyday life? Like, you know, nothing's going on, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, big names opted out of the season. Buster Posey, obviously, I work in the Bay Area, and having him opt out for beautiful reasons. Do you think more guys are going to opt out as the season goes on? Like Mike Trout, he has a baby on the way. And do you think big names that could shift things? Or do you think big names at all are still going to opt out, or names at all are going to opt out?
Well, I mean, I think at a certain point, people are going to have to sit down with their families. And I mean, obviously, it's hard enough during a normal season to be away from your family. And right. Obviously you're not with them every day. And now, especially, you know, you have guys that, you know, have pregnant wives, and obviously they can't be around them. And, you know, you don't want to miss the birth of your child. And so it's kind of, you know, situation is different for everybody. But I think if this continues in this direction, I think there will be more people where, like, it's not worth it. You know, I mean, it's at the same time, you can be asymptomatic or whatever, or, you know, you can be like Freddie, and Freddie talked about it, and it's been very organic with, mm-hmm. with how terrified he was, and, you know, afraid to go to sleep. And, you know, when his fever got to 140, he's like, I didn't want to go to sleep. I just, cause I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's people that in that situation, there's other people that get it, that, you know, feel fine or whatever. But like I said, every situation is different. And then when you involve your family into it, I think a lot of guys will, obviously they've thought about it already because they started the season, but I think now with everything that's going on, I think a lot of guys, I don't think they will opt out, but I think they'll think about it more than they really did, because it's real in the game.
Yeah. And I feel like this season, the one thing that I love, there hasn't been one player that has talked about these guys saying, why the hell did you opt out when every single player, former career, I talked to A-Rod about it recently, and he was even like, we have to support that. How could you not? Of course, fans are going to be buttheads about it, but it is kind of what it is. A 60-game season, though, how would you be able to adjust to that? You know, say you were halfway through your career and, you know, barring any injury, most guys are used to 162 games. So how do you mentally turn that on when you're used to kind of this sprint versus marathon? I've heard it so many times, but how do you adjust in your head to being like, okay, I'm used to having all this time to boom, 60 games, let's do this.
I mean, if you break it down, I think what every game is valued at like over two games. So, I mean, you don't have 2 points. Yeah. So you don't really have, there's really no room for error, you know, and you've seen the rule changes of guys on second base and, you know, Clevinger when he came.
What did you think of that, by the way?
Well, I mean, I've done it since I played in Little League. That was we played in national tournaments, but at the same time, it's so tough. And I love Clev, and I was a teammate of his and a good friend. And I understand where he's coming from. And it's so hard in the back end when you're facing these guys, and let's look at it as a whole. And I'll look at it as a back end of the bullpen guy. Like now that's an earned run that affects your ERA. There's a dude starting on second base.
Yeah.
Like most of the time we're that good. There's a dude that doesn't get to second base.
Right.
And so now you give up a run and yeah, you may give up. Now you give up six extra runs, seven runs throughout the season.
Yeah.
That affects your ERA. That affects your money. That affects food on your plate.
Yeah.
Because now it goes from maybe you had a 2-4 to a 3-7. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I get what they're trying to do, but at the same time, you're affecting dudes' livelihoods.
Right.
It is literally a back end of the guy. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, literally, the Royals the other night did not record an official at-bat. And it's, you know, sack bunt, boom, get him to third, sack fly. Here you go. We're up. We win the game. And so I understand where it's coming from. I see what they're doing. It's a little bit different because now it's a strategy thing because it's okay. Who was the last out? Now I have got a guy on the bull that can, you know, can run, can do this. And here we go. So I'm not a huge fan because I think it does affect dudes more than people realize. Like, obviously I understand the speed and the pace of the game and obviously not going 17 innings because those are never fun.
Never.
But I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me because you're changing the game. I mean, you're doing that. It takes a little bit away from
you look at it as like an alteration.
Yeah. I mean, without a doubt, I mean, there's obviously changes. I mean, that's baseball has been around for so long. There's going to be changes.
Right.
But at the same time, I just – the integrity of the game, of the chess match, of what is the bullpen and those things, I'm not a huge fan of the runner on second.
Well, at least we know that. I was really curious about that with you. But and I've also been very obsessed with the bullpens lately. A's are killing it right now out of their bullpen, so that's been really fun to watch. Your first rounder a long time ago – we won't talk about how long ago.
I'm not that old. Come
yeah,
on.
I know. Jeez. But you're not old at all, Jabba. But and we've talked about this before. You had kind of a stamp on you of this guy, what could have been. And when you hear stuff like that, even all these years later, like how does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's ever going to change. I mean, obviously, if I wasn't good enough, they wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
So, and I look at it from that perspective. It's, you know, we went back and forth. We did this. I kind of went through every gamut as a starter and as a reliever and the rules and all the other stuff. It's a fun thing to talk about. I mean, it obviously was my career. If I was 5, 6, 7 years of my career, and it would have been different. I would have had a say, but I was a 20-year-old kid in the big leagues. Like, I'll fold towels. I don't care. Like, you know, I want to be in the big leagues. This is everything I've dreamed of. So, you know, when you're going back and forth and, you know, 2-3 times a season, it just gets tough. And, you know, there's times I was frustrated, extremely frustrated. And do I think things could have been different if I was stuck in one or the other? I don't know. I mean, it ended up turning out okay. Could it have been different? Obviously, everybody's right. career could have been different in some aspect of what you do. But, you know, there's always the what if. I mean, and I don't ever play that game because I get asked all the time, well, what if they would have kept you as a starter? What if they would have kept you in the bullpen? Like, I don't know. So what if? It's we can't go back. And I mean, the only thing that I think I've said consistently, I think it, if they would have just kept me on a routine somehow, because mm-hmm. there was parts of the season where it's like, hey, you can only go 3 innings. You can only go 4 innings. You can only go 2 innings. Okay. You're going to start every 5 days for 2 starts and then you're going to go to 10 days. Like there was just never a routine for me.
Right.
And it's hard. And I mean, you can work out and you can push yourself as much as you want in the weight room and bullpens. But when it comes down to it, when you pitch every 5 days and you have a routine, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people, I go, if you look at my routine every 5 days of my starts, look at when I was consistently every 5 days, look at my ERA compared to the others.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where, you know, you understand, like, cause you know what your routine is. Well, now how am I supposed to, okay, I'm going to miss a start. Now I'm going to go 10 days. How do I try to stay sharp? Like what is the best thing for me to do? And, you know, and I look at it and I look at Phil Hughes, like they let Phil Hughes start every 5 days with a 5.2 ERA and he won 18 games. Yeah. I mean, that's never had that ERA, but they let him start every 5 days. He mm-hmm. also got 7 runs a game.
Right.
Like we knew when he started, we were scoring. Mm-hmm. I was like, perfect. We're winning this one. And so, but they kept him in a routine because they, I was the guinea pig and it is what it is. Like, I'm not mad about it, but there's no dude that starts every 5 days that has a 5.2. Just right. doesn't happen.
Yeah. But you said you don't weigh on it that much. I mean, obviously we all go through like what could have been. Like I had a chicken quesadilla yesterday. Wish I would have went cheese, but like I'm letting that go. But you don't play that mind game too much, right?
Well, I mean, only time I ever think about it is, you know, when it's brought up. Yeah. I mean,
like now,
you know, and it's
my bad.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's good. But it's one of those things where it's talked about. It's will always be talked about it at some point and in some aspect of whatever happens. Like there'll be situations where it's brought up. I mean, I'll be infamous in the game of baseball because of the damn midges. Like it is what it is. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, it's an interesting story. It sucked, but it's one of those things. It could be worse. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play over 10 years and, you know, do some really cool things. And with a lot of other stuff that went on, and I mean, through the ups and the downs, it's never been a, what if, I don't think it's, you know, what if you'd have stuck this? What if you didn't? I had a good run and, you know, did some really cool things, and I really can't harp on it too much. I mean, I would be lying if I didn't say there's times where I really was frustrated and I wanted to punch somebody, but I think that's with any job. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's just part of it. And, you know, it's the only time that I really ever think about it is when you guys bring it up.
Well, that's good. That's fair. Well, I know, because I know you're still so in love with the game. Would you ever want to go back to it as like a coach or anything like that?
I mean, yes. I mean, I love the game. I love watching it. And it's, you know, I was, you know, watching the Royals Indians game the other day and just, you know, watching Ian Kennedy, who was my roommate, you know, when we got drafted, and you know, it's just so cool to watch the game. Like, it's, you know, we get to play it and live out our dream for, I mean, just it's literally a blimp of your life. But I've been a fan of baseball for a long time. It's like, you know, it's funny because I love watching Chipper because I get to see what jackets he gets to wear. Like, he picked out a striped one the other day. I was like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But he had like a burgundy one on before. And he's like, mama picked that one out. I was like, let her pick your stuff out because that stripe joint was not it. Was not it. So it's fun being able to just be a part of the game. To come back in some capacity. Maybe my son's got 4 years left before he goes to college. And you know, it's weird that I won't even be 40 years old and my son will be out of the house. And right. So maybe, I mean, I don't know. I mean, shoot, I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants and make sure, you know, we wake up. It's a bonus. Amen. Whatever happens during that day is a bonus. So.
Amen to that. You mentioned the midges story. I'm not going to ask you about the midges story because I've heard you tell it so many times, but how many times do you think you have actually told that story?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know. Like, it's maybe not telling the story, but being brought up.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it was like, my dad texted me the other day, like opening day. He was like, oh, I saw you on TV. I was like, for what? He's like, oh, it was just weird happenings.
On opening day, they showed the clip of the midges?
It was like weird happenings in baseball. Because obviously this season is weird. So I think they were showing.
That makes sense. Got you.
And it was like the bees, the squirrel, the midges. Yeah. So it was, but yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's necessarily like telling the story, probably hundreds, but mm-hmm. of it being brought up, probably thousands. Like
it's almost like people didn't know that you messages. Were there. Like, did you right. remember the time where you did the midges? Like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, too, because I always, like, always on Twitter or something where a midge will come out and it's always brought up. Like there was even a hotel. I can't remember what hotel it was, but literally it was like, hey, make sure you keep your windows closed because of the midges, the infamous ones that attacked Jabba in 2000. Like, it's always, like, just wow. brought up when people – Yeah, so it was posted on the windows in the hotel. So
you were,
yeah,
but this was before memes were a thing, really. So this could have gone way more viral if that was happening the last few years.
I could have been Jordan crying face.
100% you could have been Jordan crying face. You really missed the bucket on that, man.
That's I know, funny. Right? Dang it. Dang it.
I'm going to have to tell the people that you didn't like pitching at Boston because you didn't like listening to Sweet Caroline.
Oh, the worst. And like, and the worst is my son terrorizes me and his buddies, like, legitimately. Well, they'll play it on their phone. We were having I think it was an end of the year watch party or something at one of my bars and restaurants here, and they played it on the jukebox, and I lost my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd lost my mind. I was like, Carter, you know that bugs me. Like, I hate that song. Like, is it catchy? Yes, I won't deny that. But at the same time, I had to hear it all the time. Every time I came in the game against Boston, I don't want to hear it. Like,
right.
I don't like Neil Diamond. I don't know him, but I don't like him. And it has nothing to do with anything, but just other than I hate that song.
That's pretty, I mean, that's a bold statement. Like, only because the demographic of baseball is like people that are obsessed with Neil Diamond. So.
Right.
But that's fine.
I don't.
Do you Boston like Coming like, to America, that song?
Yes.
That's a great song.
I'm but okay with that one.
But not Sweet Caroline. Do you think it's just because you heard it like so many times?
And yeah, I think it just because I relate
the
to
bum,
it. It's
bum, like bum.
I'm coming into the game when it's right. about to hit the fan.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm ready to get locked in. And I remember I think it was opening day. We were playing the Red Sox and Steven Tyler sang and then Neil Diamond sang it live. And I'm like, dude, are you done yet? I'm ready to pitch. Like, are you done? Like, let's get this
what
going.
What a power move asking Neil Diamond, are you done? That is
well,
such a power
I mean,
move.
I said it to myself. I didn't say it to him. I'm like, dude, are you? Because they're, you know, when they come out in Boston right by the side of their dugout and they sing. And so you're running in the game, and it's like, of course, you're going to hear this damn song. And you're like, all right. And you try to block it up, but you can't.
Yeah.
Because all the fans go crazy. It's a great – I won't take anything away from the song. It's a great song, but I can't stand it.
I get you. Now, the last day, like the day that you decided you were no longer going to play baseball, what was that day like for you?
It was actually before it actually happened.
Wasn't it kind of casual? You just wanted to be a dad, right?
Yeah, it was one of those things when you see a look in your son's face that you don't ever want to see again. And it had been 11 years, and he knew as soon as he leaves from spring training, it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks before season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, so I just kind of walked away, and just showed up casually to one of his games, and then I just kept showing up.
Oh.
And he was like, "Dad, what are you doing?" And I was like, "You know, I just want to watch you play, bud. I mean, it's, I can always make more money. I can never make more time."
Yeah.
And finally, it was about 3 weeks in that I kept showing up, and he gave me a hug, and he goes, "You're not going to leave me, are you?" And I knew I made the best decision ever.
Right. Oh.
And so, but now he's tired of me.
Now he's over it. Got it.
Yeah. Now he's over it. So,
he's a teenage boy. Like, it's,
I know,
being like a daddy's girl or a daddy's boy, mama's girl, it's like not cool anymore at that age.
No, that's definitely not cool. Like, even though I'm the cool young dad, I guess, but no, that's definitely.
Are you the cool young dad? Like, what is that these days? I feel like I'm the old aunt, I'm the cool young aunt, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, every one of his buddy's parents are like 40 something, and I'm only 34, so.
You're still a spring chicken, whatever.
No, not these gray hairs. They don't say I'm a spring chicken.
I mean, you know, not everybody.
They say salt and pepper's in, though, so.
It's very in, from what I'm, not on me, I won't do it, but on other people, apparently that's the thing.
You can't really tell much, but it's in there.
Yeah,
it's definitely in there.
It's hiding in there a little bit. Yeah. I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate you stopping by, Jabba. This is fantastic.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jabba, thanks so much for joining me. That was such a blast. We were able to cover all kinds of topics, and I really appreciate him stopping by. It was so much fun. I love listening to the history of the game, especially from he retired, and he did it for a beautiful reason, his son Carter, of course, but he still loves the game and he still watches it religiously. So I thought that was really cool. So I appreciate him stopping by, and I appreciate you guys stopping by. Make sure you subscribe to me on wherever podcasts are, on the YouTube.com, all the things, and follow me on Twitter at KleinschmidtJD, and I will see you next time. If you're looking for a new way to stream, meet Peacock, the free streaming service from NBC Universal. With tons of movies and shows, plus a daily dose of news, sports, and pop culture, there's something for everyone. And best of all, you can go watch for free or upgrade for more. Go to PeacockTV.com and start streaming now. You can stream Friday Night Lights, and you can stream Parks and Rec, which is two of my favorites. And This Is Us, because I'm going to mention Justin Hartley again and say what's up. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Balk Talk Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.